Hey, everybody. Welcome into another episode of Investing in Real Estate. I'm Clayton Morris. Thank you so much for downloading, subscribing, and pushing us to the top of the iTunes charts. Much love to you. This is the show where we focus exclusively on buy and hold real estate and landlording and what it's like to structure your home life, your business, how to put together spreadsheets, how to find properties, how to build the lifestyle you want. And I'm thrilled to have really a lifestyle expert on the show today, and a good friend of mine, Joe McCall. He is the host of the Real Estate Investing Mastery podcast, a really great podcast. You should go check it out. Joe has been doing real estate for years. I think he started off as an engineer, so he's very analytical. He's the spreadsheet master, and he's had a few missteps in his career, and he has done it all. Lease options, wholesaling, buy and hold real estate, land flipping, you name it. Joe is an expert in all of that. But more importantly, in today's episode, we're going to focus on lifestyle and how you really want to build the business, the life that you want, and think from the end. So, Joe, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Clayton. It's an honor to be here. It really is.
Well, no, it's my great thrill to have you here on the podcast, Joe. You and Alex were kind enough to have me on your podcast a number of months ago where we were talking about buy and hold real estate and some of the mistakes that I've made in real estate over the years. So if anyone wants to go check that out, they can check out Joe's podcast. It was a really fun interview. So thanks for having me. And, you know, one of the things that's always impressed me about you is, in addition to all the stuff that you've done in real estate, it's about how you approach the business, how you approach real estate with the end in mind. So,
yeah,
you know, I'd love for you to describe what that end looks like so it help our audience kind of frame their investing strategy.
Yeah, so you kind of have the same thing with your freedom number mm-hmm. that you promote. And it's I love how you approach it as well. It's real simple. It's like most of us have our job or our business and then in the center of our lives. And then our life just kind of fits around that. And I started asking myself, well, what if I made the vision for my life the center of what I want to do and then build a business around that? So my family comes first. My relationship with God comes first. And the things that are important to me in my life and my world, you know, we give a lot to our church and to charity. We go on a lot of trips to take a lot of time off to help our church do stuff, you know, missions trips and things like that. So I wanted that to be the center and then design a business around that that supported the business. So I was very intentional back in 2009 when we got started of what kind of business I wanted to have that allowed me to do the things that I wanted to do. You know, we wanted a business that was simple, had very low overhead. We wanted something that I could do part-time and make a full-time income on. I wanted something that was virtual that I could do from anywhere in the world. I could do it from a Starbucks. I could do it from a cafe in Prague. I could do it from a beach in Spain. And an RV in the middle of Yellowstone or something crazy like that, right?
Right.
And so we have four kids, and we decided, you know, if we're going to do this, we're going to have to homeschool. It's not like that. It's not because we're anti-public school. We just love homeschooling because it gives us so much more freedom to do to travel and to do all the things we want to do. So for me, it was designing like a vision or plan for my life and then creating a business that would support that instead of the other way around. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's perfect. So two things that you just said, and I want to unpack them. One of which is that you started at the beginning of this in 2009 with the intention of creating this vision. How much more difficult would it be to unpack that a year into this? You know, you start something and then you think, oh, now I've got to start to create a vision. How important is it before you even start to create that vision?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it might be a little more difficult, but it's not that hard either. I've coached a lot of people with kind of changing their current business. I was just talking to a gentleman this morning about his marketing plan, and he's going into a new area in a certain city in Washington. And he had been for a long time kind of doing the wrong kind of marketing to get deals. And with just a few tweaks, if he listens to what I said to him, I think he's going to have a lot easier time finding good deals in his market. So it can be done. I don't think there's a point where it's like it's too late. It probably gets a little harder the farther you get on in the business. Here's the problem. So many of us have these businesses that we are a slave to because we've obligated ourselves to too much stuff. And I wanted to completely avoid that. One of my friends said at one time, he made a list of everything that he does in his real estate business And he was doing a lot of short sales at the time. And he said, he asked himself a real simple question. How can I do none of this? And that was so powerful to me when I heard that. And so I started asking myself that question all the time. I'm doing all this stuff, like, and how can I do none of it? How can I literally outsource 100% of that to other people? And when you start, it's about asking the right questions, right, Clayton?
Right. Right, because when you start to – when you see it from the end, it's like, what is the life – and I did an episode specifically on start with the lifestyle in mind. And you know, when you see it from the end and you reverse engineer it from yeah. there – so this is the life I want to live. I want to spend these hours with my children every day. I speak to investors all the time who are driving 2 hours, 1 hour to work, 1 hour home, and they want to spend more time with their kids. They want to create more freedom in their lives. They want to create passive income. They don't know where to start. And they just start kind of throwing things at a wall and hoping things will stick. But they don't. And I ask them, well, what life do you want? And they don't have an answer for it. They don't have an answer for it when they're just getting started. I think that's so important to know that yeah. question, have that understood before you even begin.
Well, it helped me to see other people that were doing it already. And I was part of a coaching program called Life and Air, and I'm still friends with those guys, but Life and Air really helped me at the time. I'm a big believer in education and getting coaching and help. But I was able to see guys, and my dad was also a good example of this. This is a guy who owns a large cleaning company in Iowa. And he's got, I don't remember how many, 75, 85 employees. And he does not even have an office. He does have a laptop. I think he barely even knows how to use it. He, when he comes into the office, he will sit in the conference room for just a couple hours a day, maybe. His assistant will print the emails out on paper that he has to respond to. And he will write in his response, handwrite his response onto the email and give it to her. And she then sends the emails. And so that's the kind of business I wanted. I want, like, you know what? I want to be able to run this from anywhere in the world. And there are people out there that are doing that. When I got started in 09, there weren't a lot of people that were wholesaling houses virtually or remotely. But I did buy one guy's course. His name is Chris Chico. I bought his course called Virtual Wholesaling. And he was teaching how to wholesale houses, how to flip them from outside of, you know, your market, virtually in other cities. And but he was still the one on the phone taking the calls and dealing with the buyers and coordinating everything. And I saw that he could do that. And I remember when he came out with that course in 2008, and people were just making fun of him and saying, you can't do that. You can't buy and sell a property that you've never seen. That's ridiculous. That's guru hype and trash. And but I saw him doing it. And I thought, you know what? Maybe I'm a little gullible, but I believe I can do that too.
Right.
And then I took it to the next step and say, well, all right, well, how could I do that kind of those kinds of deals without ever even talking to sellers or without ever even talking to buyers, building a team that just does all that for me? So I started asking different questions because I saw other people doing it.
Right. And that's exactly what I did, which was, I, you know, if I was on the phone for felt like 30 hours a day, even though there's only, you know, 24 hours in a day, you can't build your business. You can't expand and actually then serve the customers you currently have in the best way that you can. And when you start to make those hires and you start to outsource and you start to bring on a great team, it's like, I'm not going to pay. I don't want to bring on someone onto my team that I'm just going to just, you know, underpay. I want to have the best, you know, because and then I can expand. I can begin to start thinking about the life that I want. I can really start to serve the customers we have, and actually your business doubles as a result of it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But there's so much fear, I think, in that, the idea that, oh, if I hire someone, then they're never going to do it as well as I can, which is total garbage.
Oh, that's huge. That's so huge and important because if we're talking about lifestyle, okay, you can't do it without a good assistant. You just can't.
Right.
And so for me, it's always been, I started off with finding virtual assistants in the Philippines, and I still use Filipino VAs and they're great. But it wasn't until I got local assistance that my income or my productivity tripled. It just skyrocketed. And I was scared to death to do that for some reason. But a mutual friend of ours, Todd, out in San Diego, he kept on pounding me and telling me, listen, wake up. This is the 21st century now?
Right.
You can't have a successful business without a local assistant. And so finally, I reluctantly agreed to get a local assistant, and I had to go rent an office. I found an office for $250-$300 a month. I put her in there, and it was awesome. And before you know it, I have three local assistants now that kind of help me run my business and do all my stuff. And I give them the virtual assistants in the Philippines to kind of do the data entry research and stuff like that. Now, that may intimidate some people, and they may think like, oh man, I don't want three local assistants. I'm having a hard enough time finding a virtual assistant maybe, but a lot of people think, yeah, Joe, you're crazy. You got three assistants. You were just saying you wanted a simple business with low overhead. And sometimes I wonder the same thing, you know, but I have a pretty diverse business, right? I have a marketing services. I do an education coaching. I have wholesale deals, and I'm even starting to flip land now and starting to look at some other venues. But so I need that kind of stuff. And I slowly got to that point. But for me, Clayton, it wasn't until I got a local assistance, I kind of got over that fear of hiring some help, that my business really took off. And, I mean, to this day, I'm keeping all three of them pretty busy. And so it's a challenge sometimes to keep them focused on the most important things. But I think you can still have a real simple business with the freedom and the luxury to travel anywhere in the world with a small team. You have to have some kind of team to support you with that.
How important is it to take that leap of faith? You know, if I talk to investors for the first time, you talk about buying properties you've never seen or in other states or out of state and that sort of thing. And you have to, I think, you and I probably have overcome this fear. We've had to overcome this fear of just taking that leap, taking that, you know, that step, that leap of faith. Like, look, every property I buy, I've never seen, right? all I care about is the rent checks every month. I've never seen almost every one of my properties I've literally never seen. There has to be that, you have to put your faith in the team at some point, right?
Yeah, and I think it's important. You got to have faith in a team, but I think it's also important to have a contingency. You know, for me at least, when I'm looking at buying and holding rental properties, when I'm helping somebody buy and hold a rental property, because these are the mistakes that I made when I first went into buying a bunch of properties, is I did not keep enough in reserves. I wasn't focused enough on the fundamentals. I didn't understand the importance of cash flow. And even saving the money, the extra money that I had for emergencies or contingencies or vacancies and things like that, I wasn't doing that. And so I think one of the reasons why, Clayton, you're so much more comfortable with this now than maybe you were is because you have something to, I mean, if you have a vacancy in your property for a couple months, that's okay. You've got some money set aside for it, right?
Right.
If the AC goes out, the furnace goes out, you need to get it fixed. It's not a big deal. The property manager that you're maybe using, I don't know, but they'll just take care of it. So having some kind of something in reserves as a contingency, as a backup, goes a long way in helping with that, especially when you're buying on the correct fundamentals, right? You're buying a property that even after figuring vacancies and maintenance and management and repairs and all of that stuff, you're still making 10 to 15% of your money.
Right.
Then you can breathe a lot easier when you have the right fundamentals in place.
Exactly. And to know that you're building that in from the beginning into your ROI formula, knowing that, okay, if I have a vacancy for a month, you know, well, that's a lot, you know, who cares? Or maybe in 2 months. I mean, I don't have that worry, and that has never really happened to me. But even then, you're still in, you know, figuring 40% for vacancy repairs and expenses in your formulas. Yeah. So worst case scenario, it's vacant for 3 months and a furnace goes up. And mm-hmm. to still know that you're making 10, 15% return on your money, even with a furnace breaking, mm-hmm. even with 3 months vacancy. I think when I first started, I didn't understand that at all.
Yeah. Well, so many people that they're afraid of that. They're afraid of managing a property from far away. They're afraid of the unexpected repairs and maintenance and the trouble tenants and things like that. Well, first of all, a lot of that's eliminated when you buy good properties, good solid properties. But people think too, are those deals even out there? And yes, they are. I mean, you find them all the time. There are really good deals to be found that can attract great tenants that aren't going to be maintenance nightmares. But when you follow the fundamentals, and the mistakes that I made was simply because I didn't follow the fundamentals. I mean, I was over leveraged. I didn't have any contingencies for vacancies and repairs. I was just taking that $100 and $200 a month that I was getting on each property in cash flow and spending it. And when the, you know what, hit the fan in 2008, 2007, I almost lost everything.
So I want to go into this deeply here because we're catching you at an interesting moment, which is that you're starting now to really put your focus back into buy and hold investing.
Yeah.
You have one property, and it's kind of amazing to me because you do so much in real estate. You're in an interesting place right now because here you do so much in real estate, flipping land and wholesaling and lease options and all of these other things. And you've been crushing it over the years with coaching and everything else. And yet you have one rental property right now. You're about to put your main focus on buy and hold investing again in your life. But maybe you were scared off to it for a little while because of everything that happened back in 2007, 2008. Take us back so we can really learn from those mistakes back then. What happened?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was basically counting on appreciation and I was ignoring the fundamentals. Everybody, I remember looking at the charts back in 2006 and 2007. Real estate never went down, right? And I was being conservative by just figuring on 8% appreciation a year in St. Louis, Missouri, is when I was getting started. And, I saw the market goes up and down in cycles a little bit, but over the long term, it never goes down. So I was buying properties based on appreciation. And this is when it was really easy to get loans. So I was buying as many houses as I could with as many mortgages as I could get. I was even starting to buy properties creatively by lease options and by subject twos where you take over an existing mortgage and stuff like that. And so pretty soon, within about a year or two, I had about 16, 17 properties. And when the market collapsed, I was ignoring fundamentals. So each property only cash flowed $100, $200 a month. And I should have been saving that money for vacancies and maintenance and repairs. And I was doing a lot of lease options as well, as trying to sell these houses as a lease option to the tenant buyers that were living in them. But when the market crashed, everything went with it. And I never did miss a mortgage payment on the houses that I bought subject to, if you know what I mean by that. It's when I take over someone's mortgage.
Right.
I never missed a mortgage payment on one of those. But there was a lot of them that I paid it on day 29, like right before the 30-day late. It was horrible. I was so stressed out. I was one of those times where I'd go to bed at like 1 in the morning, stressed out, and I'd wake up at 4 or 5 in a cold sweat, and I couldn't go back to sleep again. Completely, completely stressed out. And, you know, I had all these obligations and debts to pay on my property, so I subsequently got late on my own house payment. We had to do a short sale on our own house. Finally, I got out of those deals, the ones that I had bought subject to. I had tenants in them finally. I just deeded them back to the owners, and I told them, I'm sorry, I can't make any other payments on this. And they were fine. You know, they said, okay, no problem, and thanks for never missing a payment. But, I mean, it was killing me. I was so stressed out. My family is affecting my family, obviously, because we're losing our house. And then slowly I started losing all these properties. I'd either sell them or I would do a short sale on them. It was embarrassing. It was humiliating. And at the time I said, I am never, ever, ever going to own another property again. And so I started realizing though, the mistakes I made, it was really simple. It could have been easily avoided. If I would have, even when these mistakes that I was making, Clayton, even if you were to buy a house at the height of the market, if you were following strict fundamentals, you'd still be okay today. Right. And it's simple cash flow,
right.
cash flow, right? Where you're covering your expenses and you don't buy a property that you're over leveraged or you're not covering those kinds of expenses. And if I would have bought them smartly back even in 2006, 2007 at the height of the market, I'd still be okay today because I'd still be cash flowing. I would have still had money for reserves to cover all the vacancies and the things that I had to fix. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. So let's talk about the power of just positive cash flow, return on investment, and just the idea of owning properties, you know, without any leverage on them, or just they're free and clear, the power of free and clear properties. How important is it, I mean, to get to that goal?
That's huge because so many people think that they have to have $5 million in the bank to retire, and they can't retire until they're 65 years old. That's a bunch of hogwash, you know? All you really need, if you had zero debt, and this is what I'm working towards right now, it's zero debt. You just need 10, 15 rental properties, and that's it.
Right.
And you can live very, very comfortably. And how much does it cost? How much money do you need to buy 10, 15 properties? I mean, not that much. You could do it over 10, 15 years, maybe.
maybe buy a house if you can't have, if you don't have the cash to buy it now, but you could buy it maybe on a 15-year mortgage and just pay it off as quickly as you can. But if you do it smart, you can build easily a 10 to 15 home portfolio, have them all paid off free and clear. And if you don't have any personal debt either, you know, you can live very, very comfortably on $7,000-$8,000 a month, $10,000 a month, very comfortably. And so when I look at that, I'm thinking, I love sharing that with people because it kind of helps take away the fear and the anxiety of the future. Because, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I totally agree. And the sharing part of this, that's why when I came up with the freedom number one night in my basement with my wife on the whiteboard, exactly. And I was like, we're so frustrated. We were just like, okay, why at the end of the month with expenses, why are we just not saving anything? What's going on here? Like, we make good money, but we're not building any, passive income or financial freedom or legacy wealth for our family at all. Like, what are we doing wrong? And then it was like, okay, well, what if I could own a certain amount of rental? Like, what are our monthly expenses? Let's add them up. And what if we had a certain amount of rental properties that would just cover all of those monthly expenses? What would that look like? And that's where I came up with the freedom number idea and, walking people through how to do that. And it's like, it changes your brain when you start to wrap around. Mm-hmm. You don't need $5 million. You don't need $1 million. You just need $7,000, $8,000, maybe $6,000, maybe $5,000 a month. When I talk to investors, you'd be surprised how many people tell me their freedom number is like five houses or seven houses.
Isn't that exciting? You don't hear that from anyone else.
Right. You don't need 500 houses. You just need a few, and that's enough to really take care of your groceries, your gas, your mortgage, going out to dinner, going to see a movie with your husband or wife, and that's it. What else do you really need? You go to Prague, maybe you want to build that into your freedom number plan, right? You want to spend a month in Europe? Well, build that in. Think from the end in mind first and reverse engineer that.
I love that. That's so important and critical. You just work with the beginning, begin with the end in mind. You work backwards from there. And it's not something you can get to overnight, but that's why I love wholesaling. We're starting to take the wholesaling profits that we're making and putting them into a reserves where we get enough, we can start buying rental properties. And, where we are in the Midwest, you can buy great properties for 40, 50 grand.
Right.
Great properties. And then rent them out for $900 to $1,000.
Yeah, that's what we do. And, people, how do you deal with naysayers? Because, when you're in a high profile position like you are, like I am, you're going to get people who I call them trolls, right? Internet trolls. I mean, think about it. If we were even bigger, like a Taylor Swift or something, how many people just want to be negative? And what I often find about people who are negative about maybe the properties that I buy or maybe where I buy or whatever, whether it's Pennsylvania or Michigan or Indiana or St. Louis or, Memphis or any other place. Oh, you can't do that. Or those houses are crap. Or those are in war zones. And what I often find is those people don't own any houses. Mm-hmm. they don't have any rental properties. So they're just spewing hate because they don't know. It's like having those family members, that you're surrounded by that are always telling you can't do stuff. How do you deal with that kind of stuff?
Well, first of all, I just thought it was funny that you put me at the same level as you.
Hey, you've got a huge following, man.
Not as big as yours, but that's funny. So what do you say to those naysayers? That's a great question. And it is true. The bigger you get, the more popular your podcast gets or whatever. You're going to find people that are haters out there. I call them the yeah butters. And you just got to ignore the yeah butters. And you got to think about who you're getting your advice from. So if I was talking to somebody who is just kind of looking into this business and maybe wanting to buy some rental properties, I would tell them, listen, there's going to be people out there that tell you that you're crazy, but you're not. Meet so-and-so look where he's at in his business right now. Meet so-and-so and then look what I'm doing and look what's possible. I think you fight the naysayers by showing them the truth of what is really happening. Spin it in a positive light. You say, these are guys that are crushing it right now, who are living the lifestyle that you want to live. And so whose advice would you rather take? Somebody who's broke or somebody who's already successful? It's up to you. You can't. Sometimes I think here's another thing I'll do sometimes, Clayton, when somebody's acting negative like that, I just say, you know what? You're right. It doesn't work. I'm a complete fraud and just I just shut up and see what they say. And it totally throws them for a loop. It's like, what? Huh?
Yeah, it's so true. And, it, you know, to me, it's like a personal attack. It's like a character attack on, you know, the way that I've been building passive income. It's like, well, you're telling me that this doesn't work, or you're telling me that, oh, I would never buy properties in these neighborhoods, or I wouldn't do this, or I wouldn't do that. It's like, well, that's what I've been doing for years. That's how I'm able. Right. This week, I literally leave for Scotland for 10 days. And while I'm there, I will have rent checks hitting my account while I'm in Scotland drinking scotch. You know, going through the Highlands, you know, and with my kids on the train and exploring,
that's so awesome.
So yeah, you want to tell me it doesn't work? All right, you want to see my bank account when I've put in the hard work, I've done the deals, I've made it happen, and here's the result of that: is rent checks, passive income, while I'm, you know, taking the kids to Scotland for the first time to see castles.
Well, and you're not buying properties in war zones, Clayton.
Right?
They're not. It's just some misunderstandings, I guess, or they just flat out lying about you, but you're not buying and selling the properties in the really bad areas. But just the fact that I love to hear that you're going to Scotland for how many weeks? Did you say 2 weeks?
Yeah, about 2 weeks. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, so a lot of you guys don't know, but we spent 3 months in Prague last year, traveling around the world. And then the 2 years before that, we were in Prague again for 2 months, I think. And then in between there, we went on a 3 month RV trip. And nothing is better, nothing is more fun and enjoyable than making money while you're traveling around the world.
Well, you've been an inspiration to me in that way, and I'm telling you, because next year my wife and I are planning a Joe McCall-style European trip for like a month. And because we've been building up the passive income from our rental properties, we're going to try to spend a month, I think, in France, in the south of France. So that's like the inspiration. You know, I spoke to an investor who purchased a property through us, and I love that he named his LLC because he actually spent a lot of time in Europe. And he mentioned a whole backpacking series, and he's like, I'm now going to buy rental properties in order to build in about 3 months travel to Europe every year. It's taking me back to my, you know, he's like, I'm a single guy now, but I want to build this into my plan. And he named his LLC about, like, you know, going through Europe. And I love that. And so he's like buying rental properties with the sole focus on creating passive income and the lifestyle that he wants. So other people are doing it. They are taking that.
That's,
you
awesome.
Know, it's great.
Well, the other cool thing too, Clayton, is it's not like when you go to Europe for these trips, you're not working at all, because with the technology today, it makes it so much easier to actually work while you're in Europe.
Right.
And that's what I did. I was just working 3-4 hours a day, but don't think that, again, I think it's expectations. It's people just need to hear that it can be done. You can actually run a business in the United States. You can manage your rental properties. You can wholesale deals. You can do fix and flip, whatever you want to do. You can do that virtually from anywhere in the world.
Yeah, it's right. I mean, I'll have my iPad Pro with me. I'll have you know, my microphone with me, record a podcast or so while I'm there, on topics that I'm reading about, thinking about, you know, want people to help and get shared, you know, have more information about. But I'll also be running the business from there. So I'll be sitting in a coffee shop for a few hours and doing work and getting some really good work done. But then also really enjoying the countryside and also be able to put that laptop away and to go and just spend time with the family as well. So you're right. It's, you know,
I have a client, a friend and a client, his name is Gregory. And I did a couple podcasts with him, and anybody listening to this should go listen to this. He's this good old country boy from South Carolina, you know? And, so he starts wholesaling a bunch of deals, and I do my second interview with him, and he's in France. Okay. And, I wanted to call the episode F It Wholesaling. You know, he uses the real word. Okay. Because that's his philosophy. He's, F it. I'm going to do it. Joe says I can do it. I'm going to do it. F it. And so he's in France, in Paris, and I'm talking to him on a podcast. I'm interviewing him. And he says, Joe, I am looking at the effing Mona Lisa. He says, I'm looking at the Mona Lisa, Joe, and I just did a deal, made $7,500, whatever the number was, right? So he said, he actually had a flight that was supposed to leave that day or the next day or something like that. And he just says, F it, I'm going to stick around for a while.
Wow.
And so I just love that. I get so excited hearing other stories of guys that believe that it's possible. They go start traveling around the world or whatever, and they're doing deals while living in Europe for, I think he was there for 3-4 weeks. I'm not sure, but
that's amazing.
Deals while looking at the Mona Lisa. His name was Gregory Hodges.
That is amazing. That is amazing. I've definitely done deals from the beach where I've had my, you know, my title company and so forth in New Jersey, just, you know, when I was wholesaling deals in New Jersey often, you know, just, oh, this one closed today, Clayton. I'm like, yes, that's great.
Yeah.
You know,
see, I that's what I get so excited about in this business is helping other people figure out, like, just design. That's what, this all goes back to what we're talking about at the beginning, designing a lifestyle first and
right.
then building a business around that. Because with technology, again, today, there's no excuse. You don't have to be tied to an office. You don't have to be tied to a local location. You can do this business and from anywhere in the world. And I think, you know, when I first heard that in 2008, 2009, it took me a while to believe that, but I just said, you know what? I can do that. Why not? Who's going to tell me that I can't? And that's when I started just planning for that. And I intentionally designed a business that would support that kind of a lifestyle. And anybody can do it. I'm nothing special.
And yeah, your biggest critic, the biggest person that's going to talk you out of doing anything is going to end up being yourself. You mm-hmm. know, we can blame it on spouses, right? Well, my wife's not ready yet. She's not ready to take the plunge. But really, at the end of the day, it's you. If you want to take action and make things happen for yourself, you've got to make it happen. You've got to do it. Take that first step, get out there and just start doing it and get your hands dirty with it. Mm-hmm. I always say on this show, if you're 80% sure, that's 100% to me, because you're never going to be 100% sure of anything in your life. So just if you're 80% or even 70%, just do it. Figure it out. What's the worst that can happen, you know?
That's really good. Really good.
Well, Joe, where can people learn more about what you do, everything that you talk about, teach, and where can people connect with you?
Yeah, the best way is probably just at my podcast, Real Estate Investing Mastery.
It's a great podcast.
Do you have a favorite podcast app, by the way, Clayton?
You know, because I'm running iOS 10 right now as a beta. Overcast to me is my favorite. My friend Marco Arment, he created Instapaper. He created Overcast for iOS. It's really okay. Fantastic. I mean, you can have variable speed adjustments. He has some crazy stuff that he's built into his podcast player that nobody else has. He's like a really big audiophile. So he's done some great stuff with his app, Overcast. But because I'm running iOS 10, the third beta right now, I've just been using Apple's own podcast app that comes native on the iPhone.
Please tell me they've made some improvements to it.
They have, but because now it's so deep level with Siri integration, where you could be driving and you could literally just say, play Real Estate Investing Mastery podcast. And if it's downloaded on your podcast, because Siri integrates with it, it'll just start playing the latest episode right there in your car. So Siri integration is great.
Okay, good.
And the syncing between your devices is also great. So some of those features. But yeah, Overcast, if you're wanting a great third-party app, it's the best.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
I was going to say I like Pocket Casts.
Oh, yeah, Pocket Cast is great. They just released a new version this week, actually.
Oh, they did. I've not seen that yet.
Yeah.
But in fact, I'm just opening it up. And yes, it does look – wow, it looks a lot different.
Yeah, Pocket Cast is
great. Okay, but – if people wanted to find out more about me, realestateinvestingmastery.com, or just find your favorite podcast app, Real Estate Investing Mastery. We've been doing that podcast since 2011, not as long as you. I was surprised to hear you were on podcasting for 9 years now with your other show.
Yeah.
But I've been doing it since 2011, which is a long time in podcasting world.
It is, and there's so many great episodes in there. People should go check that out and connect with Joe. He's such a great wealth of knowledge and always very kind and open and willing to share, which is what we love. So, Joe, it's been great connecting with you. I can't wait to hear more about you acquiring more rental properties over the next few months. Let's do another episode where you come back and talk about some of those next acquisitions that you get, and we'll talk about
okay.
what went into purchasing them, how you purchased them, how you put those deals together, what kind of ROI you looked for, property management, all of those pieces as you begin to build that portfolio once again.
That sounds good, Clayton. I'd be glad to do that.
Awesome. The great Joe McCall, everyone. Check him out over at realestateinvestingmastery.com. And we will be back here with another episode. Of course, I'll be in Scotland, but hey, you know, we're going to have some great episodes. We've got some great ones ready and lined up for you. And I'm going to be recording some while I'm in Scotland drinking some scotch. Hope I won't be drunk. Actually, maybe that'll be make it a better episode. I don't know.
But, no, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. But if you would like to book a call with our team, please come over to morrisinvest.com. Just click on the book a call tab. We would love to talk with you about your real estate goals. And, you know, we're always willing to talk. So thanks, everyone, for downloading the podcast. Check us out next time, and we'll be back here once again. Much love to you all. Have a great one.